Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison now.
Well, I want to start what God has for tonight, and I'm just going to start with the title of what I'm preaching, because this is not a classy title. It's probably not a title. I couldn't think of anything better. This is just what I'm talking about. When you're ready to quit, what do you do? That's the title. Now, you can make fun of me if you want. I'm used to it in a home with a bunch of women. But here's the thing. In ministry, and it's not a pastor, it's not the church leadership, it's the Christian. In ministry, there are times you just want to throw the towel, I'm done. And it's not just you, it's me. And here's the thing, we're on a high right now. I mean, from this weekend, if you were a part of what went on, we're in excitement, we're thrilled, we're just, I can't believe how awesome it is. But I want to preach on the front end of things, not on the back end. And here's what I want you to know. There will be a time in your Christian life where you say, I'm ready to quit. I'm ready to throw this in. I've tried it for 20 years, and I'm about sick of it. You know, I mean, there are times you're going to think that. What do you do? What do you do? Because that's going to happen. I've got 3 points tonight. It's a real easy sermon, but it's something that I think we need to get a hold of and understand. Number one, when you're ready to quit, what do? Don't ask, what am I missing? What am I missing? See, the first danger we face that could cause us to quit is looking in the wrong direction. Start looking in. You have your Bibles turned to John. We're going to illustrate this out of Scripture tonight. I talked on Sunday about the disciples just not getting it. They didn't understand. And we talked a lot about that. They didn't understand what was going on. And Jesus had plainly explained to them what was going on. I mean, there was no doubt what he said. I asked the church the question. Did you get it? Yeah, I got it. Well, Jesus told them in plain language. It wasn't in English, but in plain Greek, they could understand what was going on. And they didn't get it. I don't understand. John chapter 21, verse 1. Later, after the resurrection, that's what the later is, Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. This is how it happened. Verse 2, several of the disciples were there. There were 7 of them. Verse 3, Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. And the other 7 said, we'll come too. So they went out in the boat, but they caught nothing all night. After the trauma of the crucifixion, and then the turmoil associated with the resurrection, Peter and the other disciples were discouraged. I mean, and they had been waiting for the Lord to appear, and they were getting impatient. And what started happening was, is they started thinking, okay, here's what I'm expecting because I followed Christ. Come on, every one of us have been right there. Here's what I'm expecting because I made Jesus as my Lord. So here, and we have expectations after that. But they were discouraged. And when you get discouraged after you've made a decision to follow Jesus, what happens? The same thing that happened to them. They began to look back on the good old days of their lives before things became so complicated. And who could really blame them? I mean, they were looking. They didn't know. They'd heard what he said. There were days that they had in life that there was just a daily routine that could be counted on. And we all know before Jesus that there was a daily routine and there was a weekend routine you could count on. Without church interrupting everything. Easter egg hunt on Saturday, Sunday. There was a daily routine. There was security in knowing what was next. And there was a satisfaction that they could look back on in remembering, this is how I run my life. This is how I do it. John 21, we read that the seven disciples have gathered here at Peter's home in Capernaum, waiting for Jesus. When Peter's impatience, as always, says, "I'm going fishing." Now, I don't know if the was in there, but "I'm going fishing." And then all the other seven, "We're going too." You may think at times that you're the only Christian that has ever thought about quitting. But what I'm telling you is you're not the only one. Every one of us has faced that. See, Peter was just having one of those days. And if you haven't had one of those days and you're a new Christian, hold on. There's going to be a time, I don't know about this. But he was having one of those days, and Peter said, "I'm going fishing." I had to look up the Greek word that that Peter used to convey what he was saying. And the Greek word was hupago. Hupago, I practiced it. Hupago. Now, this is an interesting word, and here's what it means. It means, "I retire." He's frustrated. "I'm done with this." Peter's ready to quit his call, quit the direction that the Lord had given him, and go back to what he knew best, fishing. And either Peter was very persuasive with the other seven, or they were just as disgusted as he was. You know, misery loves company. And Peter may have been reading the crowd, and all of them are, "Where's he at? Where's he at? Let's go fishing, boys. Come on, we're going. We're going. We're all going." And the 11 go with him. See, or seven of the 11 go with him. And three of them weren't even fishermen. You ever try to get somebody who don't like fishing to go fishing? They'll ruin your day. Peter didn't care. "I just wanted out of there. I just want out." See, he wanted to go back to his comfort zone. We all have comfort zones before Christ. And let's just go back to my comfort zone. Hey, if this ministry thing doesn't work out, I can always go back to where I left off. I remember God had a specific call on my life for Christian Ministries Church. Specific call. And we have been working and doing what God had called us to do. And my income fell because I didn't have an income. What am I going to do? And I remember Michelle and I, we were praying, "God, what would you have us do? We don't have an income." I wasn't planning on my income disappearing this quick. But God, I'm serving you, and this is what I'm going to do, except for I'm going to start the same business back up that I had already lost. I remember thinking, that's what I'm going to do. And I remember calling some counsel. "What do you think about this?" And my counsel said, "Well, if that's what God's called you to do, but here's what you said." And I think a lot of times that's kind of where Peter was. You know, you're going back to this, but this is what Jesus said. Don't go back on what you've already started forward on. So it's very important. The devil wants to mess with you. You got to know that. But more than that, the flesh wants to mess with you. And old patterns and old ways of thinking and old ways of talking and old ways of treating your spouse and old ways of being the parent you are, all that starts coming back. Luke 9:62, Jesus said to him, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." I want you to think about that. You cannot plow. I remember my grandpa talking about this time and time again. You can't plow a straight line looking back. You can't do it. You got to be looking all the way across the field, pick you out. And I use that all the time when I'm mowing and I want to make straight lines and I'll look and I'll pick a point out to the other side. I don't look left or right. I don't even look right in front of me. I don't look behind me. I'll look right back at that point and I'm going right towards it. So if I look here, I'll have a little weave in my, but you got to pick a point on the other side and you can't take your eyes off of it. And that's where you go. And that's what this verse is saying. No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom. You can't say, "I'm going to go do a work for you, God," and constantly be looking in the past. It don't work. Good or bad. There's good things in your past, but you got to understand that I've got to make a line here in what God's called me to do. Looking back means that your orientation is in the wrong direction. I want you to think about this. Paul said in Philippians 3:13, "Forget the past. forget the past and look forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ is calling me. And see, that's Paul. We got to keep our eyes focused on the job that God has called us to do. Now, verse 3, I do get a kick out of. They went ahead and went out fishing, and they didn't catch a thing all night. That's the worst day in the world. I've been there, and it's not any fun. I don't really fish with a bow, but when I'm fishing, it's not good when you don't see anything. Peter discovered something really important. He discovered that you can't go back and be successful once you've committed to Christ. And I started thinking about this. Now, this is really big. I'll put this as eloquently as possible. There's nothing more depressing than thinking you can do something and then you can't.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And the older I get, I know. Jesus showed Peter that without him, he couldn't even fish anymore. Don't think that you're going to go back to your old life and find satisfaction. It won't happen. It won't happen. You won't catch any fish. You're going to be, you think you're miserable right now waiting on God to move. You just turn your back on him and see what happens for you. It's not going to be any good. So don't ask, what am I missing? Your future with the Lord is full of exciting significance, but you got to follow him. You got to follow him. Verse four, at dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, "Fellas, have you caught any fish?" "No," they replied. Then he said, "Throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat and you'll get some." So they did. I'm always welcome to try something when something ain't working that I think should be. I don't care who throws the suggestion. You know, they didn't know who he was. Hey, if you caught any fish, he goes ahead and tells them to do something. And they didn't even know who it was. But then in verse 7, it says, "Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It's the Lord.' When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped for work, jumped in the water, headed to shore. The others stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore, for they were only about 100 yards from shore. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them, fish cooking over a charcoal fire and some bread. 'Bring some of the fish you've caught,' Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard, dragged the net to the shore, and there was 153 large fish, and the net hadn't torn. Jesus said, 'Come and have some breakfast.' None of the disciples dared to ask him, 'Who are you?' They knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus served them the bread and the fish." This was the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he had been raised from the dead. Jesus appears on the beach. The next morning, early, after they've been fishing all night, the disciples spot him. John identifies him. Peter jumps in the water, swims to shore. They've all gathered together, and Jesus is preparing them breakfast, and it's a good day again. It's a good day again. After breakfast, Jesus takes Peter aside to speak to him privately. In verse 15, as we read on, but before I get to this, I want to give you the second point here. The second mistake that we commonly make when we want to quit, is we ask, "What's in it for me?" So don't ask, number two, don't ask, "What's in it for me?" Don't ask, "What's in it for me?" The minute you stop and ask, "What's in it for me?" you're in trouble. You're already there in trouble. If we are serving God for any other reason than love for him, we're going to run out of steam. You can't serve for your mom and dad, young people. You'll run out of steam. You can't serve for your best friend. You'll run out of steam. You can't, let me just say this, you can't even serve for your spouse. You'll run out of steam. I've seen people just go to church and get involved with the church because their spouse did, and they run out of steam every time. Every time. Don't ask, "What's in it for me?" And that's the thought that gets us in trouble. Verse 15, after breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," Peter replied. "You know I love you." "Then feed my lambs or my sheep? Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said, you know I love you. Then take care of my sheep, Jesus said. Third time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt. The Bible says that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, Lord, you know everything and you know that I love you. Jesus said, then feed my sheep. What's he saying when he's saying feed my sheep? Well, when you just read the whole story before that, he's saying get on your call. Get on your call. You've been called to do something here. And you're trying to go fish, and that's not going to bring you the significance that I have for your life. You need to go feed sheep, which is what I've called you to do. You need to go take care of my people. You need to go preach the word. You need to go do what I've told you to do. Three times Jesus asked Peter a question. Now, I know I've explained this 100 times in the history of this church, but I'm going to say it again. Famous quote of our family. You've heard this 100 times. You're going to hear it again. Here it is. The word love is actually several words in the Greek. And they all mean something a little different. The English has one word for the expression love. Jesus says to Simon, so Simon Peter, do you love me? He literally said, Simon Peter, do you agape me? That's one of the types of love. It's the same love that is used in John 3:16 when it says, for God so loved the world, for God so agape'd the world. It's a God kind of love. It's a love you can only have by associating yourself with the Savior. That's the only way you can have that. And so he said, do you love me in the way that I've associated myself with you and you've associated yourself with me? That's what he asked Simon, Peter. And see, Peter came back and said, Lord, of course I love you. But he didn't use agape when he replied. He used filio, which is a brotherly type of love. So, I mean, it's just like Jesus said, do you agape love me? Do you agape me? And Peter said, I filio you. Do you agape me? He asked him again, do you agape me? Peter said, I filio you. I'm like a brother to you. He wasn't being rude in his response. He was just not getting the full grasp of what Jesus was asking. Now, the third time he asked, Jesus says, do you filio me? And Peter goes, I'm hurt. I love you like a bro. I love you more than anything. Well, why did Jesus change what he was saying? Why did he change from agape asking twice and then go to filio? Because he realized Peter wasn't going to get on Jesus' level, so Jesus came down to Peter's level and said, I'm going to speak a language that you're trying to speak. You're not getting it. So do you really filio me? Because that's what you keep saying. And he said, yes, yes. There are several reasons, possibilities that he may have been asking this, because the word filio could mean a lot of different things that he associated himself with Jesus on. So Jesus could have been saying, Peter, do you love me more than you do fishing? Well, why would he ask that? Because he'd been fishing instead of doing what Jesus had told him to do. Do you love me more than fishing? Simon Peter, do you love me more than these other disciples do? Here's what you got to know, and I'm not going to go back and read all this, but you know enough about the Bible and the Word to know where this and to have read this before. But fresh in Peter's memory was his denial of the Lord after having previously boasted that even if all the other disciples abandon you, Lord, I won't. That's what Peter had said to him. And fresh in Peter's mind is this. And Peter replied, yes, Lord, you know I filio, I have a deep, abiding affection for you, Jesus. For you, Jesus. I want you. And that's what Peter was saying to him. I want you. And what's Jesus say back? Then do what I told you to do. Do what I told you to do. Feed my sheep. Peter is in effect saying, Lord, I realize that nothing I could ever do would measure up to the way you love me. But what I want you to know is I'm not going to quit. See, there's a big thing happening right here. And if you don't get the whole context, here's what happened when he finally said, I love you, Jesus. I filio you. I want you and you only in my life. I want the connection to you. Here's what happened. Peter came out of retirement. See, Peter said, okay, that hupago, no, I'm sorry, I'm not there. I'm not gonna fish and do what I was headed towards. And see, he declared at that point, Jesus declared Peter fit for ministry because he said, I'm not quitting. As you read that, you gotta be able to see the whole significance of the whole story when you read that. And Peter came back and said, I'm here. What is really under consideration in these verses was Peter's motivation to do the right thing. And I wanna encourage you, you need to stay motivated in the kingdom of God. Amen. You gotta stay motivated. When was the last time you stopped and asked yourself why you do what you do? When's the last time? What am I doing? What am I doing? And I'm talking about spiritually for the kingdom of God. And it may be either side. So you may be asking yourself this question going, why do I do what I do? And you're referring to that in the sense of you're not doing anything. And some may be saying, why do I do what I do? Because you're overwhelmed with all you're doing. But when's the last time you asked yourself that question? See, the minute we quit, we have answered the question of what is your motivation? If you quit, I know what motivates you. You do. You quit what God's called you to do. And I deal with this and have over the last 12 years. People coming up and saying, you know what? I just need to step back. I understand there are seasons and times. I get that. But make sure, because this isn't for me to answer or to call, but make sure that you're not doing that for you. Because if God has a call on your life, forwards all your thinking. See, that is just so important. The only pure motive of love for the Lord qualified Peter to take care of the sheep, which is what Jesus had told him to do. If Jesus has told you to do something, then there's no retreat. And I could not pastor Christian Ministries Church. And had I went out and started to try to start up a business that I had already saw my income quit in, well, I'll just change some things and do it totally different. Oh, God had called me to pastor. And I had to back up and say, okay, what am I going to do here? What I'm saying is your call is not my call, but you have a call. Right. And as you start receiving the call upon your life and you ask yourself, what am I doing? Make sure you never quit because I just got to take a step back. No, it's because the Lord's got me moving somewhere else. See, my focus is I just made a new line and here's where I was, but it's still for the kingdom of God. And so I think that's really important. Number three, don't ask, what about him? You know where I'm going here. The third error that believers make who decide to throw in the towel is they start looking at others. Christianity is all about having a personal relationship with Christ. And then you can have it with others. But if you're trying to have it with others and then you're missing the relationship with Christ, you're going to get yourself in trouble. The truth is that when we compare ourselves with others, we either get a big head or we get hacked off. I'm just telling you, because somebody else is going to be doing something you're not. Some other church is going to be running more in their program. Somebody else is going to be, and you're going to be, See, you're just going to get frustrated. So-and-so, boy, they're just receiving all the blessings and I'm not, and I'm praying for it, and I don't know how they keep getting blessed, and I just assume like every time I turn around, where's the attention? It's on you. See, what about him? What about them? Have you ever stopped to consider the dynamics between the relationship of Peter, John, and Jesus? Peter was to be the Lord's choice, to be the leader of the disciples. But John was the disciple, we're told in verse 20, that Jesus loved. Let's read verse 18, keep reading here. Verse 18. I like this verse. And Jesus, I like the way he puts things. I tell you the truth. This is him speaking. When you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself and went wherever you wanted to go. Young people, does that sound like anything that you're desiring? Dress yourself and do whatever you want. But when you're old, you'll stretch out your hands and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go. Something to look forward to. Jesus said this to let him know by what kind of death he would glorify God. Then Jesus told him, "Follow me." Peter turned around, saw behind them the disciple Jesus loved, the one who had leaned over to Jesus during supper and asked, "Lord, who will betray you?" Peter asked Jesus, "What about him, Lord?" Peter asked Jesus, "What about him? Who's him? Can't you even call his name? What about John? What about John?" Peter's asking, "What about him, Lord?" Jesus replied, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what's that to you? As for you, follow me." As for you, follow me. Now, I read that and I kind of get a kick out of the way some of the things were said, but Peter basically says, "What about John?" And Jesus very sharply rebuked him and said, "Peter, that ain't none of your business. That ain't none of your business. Well, what about him? That ain't none of your business." Peter was guilty of playing the comparison game. And 1 Corinthians 10:12 is just real clear. Don't compare yourself with others. Don't compare yourself. It's going to cause you problems. You're either going to get a big head because you're going to think how much better you are in the kingdom of God than so-and-so, or you're going to get frustrated because what so-and-so's doing, or because Jesus is blessing them, or as Peter, because John is the one you love. See, Jesus made the whole matter quite clear to Peter. He said, "Peter, I have told you my plans for your life. What I choose to do with John is none of your business." Somebody needs to hear that today. I've got plans for your life, and you're concerned about everybody else, and you need to just watch it and be concerned about what I've asked you to do. You be concerned about what I've asked you to do. Peter, you have enough to be concerned about in and of yourself. That's Jesus talking to. Church, tonight, I want you to understand, there are three things you want to be careful not to ask. Don't ask, "What am I missing?" It's a myth that you can go back to that old life and be satisfied. You won't be. You'll be frustrated. Don't ask, "What's in it for me?" The compelling force in your life has got to be a love for Christ. And don't ask, "What about him? What about so-and-so? What about them?" And they're... The comparison game is always disappointing. I want you to know that I'm on the front end of this. And here's why. Because anytime, and I've talked to countless people about this, anytime that you're on a spiritual high, and we are right now as a church, you just got to know, anytime you're on a spiritual high, the devil's quickest thing that he's going to start doing is putting questions in your head. And what I wanted you to know is you've got to remove those questions. Don't ask what I'm missing. Don't ask that. Don't ask what's in it for me. You start getting all caught up on yourself and you're in trouble. And don't get asking about, "Well, what about so-and-so and what all they're doing and what all they're getting?" And you'll miss out on finding God's best for you if you start getting caught up on those questions. So we may not know exactly what God has planned for our life. We may not know. I mean, just this. I like to dream. I'm a dreamer now. I like to dream about where I'm headed, what God's got for me. But I've had to back up and say, "God, I want what you want. I want what you want." You can bet you won't want to miss what God has for you. I've walked in enough of it with what I know he has for me to know it's worth it. But be patient. Stay steadfast. You'll never know what God's best was if you quit. Don't quit. Don't quit the kingdom. Don't quit your Bible study. Don't quit your devotion. Don't quit feeding yourself the word. Don't quit the church. Don't quit. And I'm not talking just Christian ministries. I'm talking about the kingdom of God. Don't quit. I want to close with 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. It says, "So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord. For you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless." Nothing you ever do for the Lord is ever useless. Now, you may not do it at the level somebody else. But if you're looking at somebody else, then you're saying, "Well, what about him?" And you're in trouble. See, don't do it to say, "Well, what can I get out of this?" You're in trouble. You're in trouble. And when you start thinking, "Man, I must have missed something," you're in trouble. Stay moving. Thank God y'all are here on Wednesday night. Because for those that heard this, there will be a time when Satan comes in and tries to throw those questions in your ear. And you better say, "Get behind me." There'll be a time that the flesh starts craving going fishing again. Nothing wrong with fishing, by the way. But if it's taking you away from the call of God on your life, you're in trouble. So we got to do what God called us to do. That's why I didn't use hunting as the illustration. The Bible used fishing. Y'all stand with me this evening.
We hope that you've been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. For more messages or information about Christian Ministries Church, go to www.cmchurch.net.